Okay. And we are on. Let me share a screen with all of you. We're going to continue into what I believe is our sixth shiur in Shaar HaGmul of the Ramban. So previously in Ramban, he rehashed a number of ideas that we discussed. One of those ideas is talking about Tzchar V'Onesh, reward and punishment, that the righteous people, they receive punishment in this world so that they can enjoy the benefits of the world to come, and that the wicked, they get their reward in this world so that they perish in the world to come. So based on this entire premise that the Ramban formulated up until now, he wants to address an age-old question. And I feel bad Toby's on vacation, is not with us today, but I remember she was very excited about it when I said we were going to deal with it this time. So this is going to be the answer why is it, the age-old question, why are the Jews always persecuted? Why is everyone always running after the Jews? Why do the Jews suffer more in this world, seemingly more so than any other nation or many other nations throughout history? So lefi hamida hazu, based on what we explained before, Yisrael rabbi tzar v'yisurim v'olam hazeh yoser mishar ha'umos. So ketzad, yafshar l'umos b'lo tzedakah masim na'im. So how does this work out? Why do we see so many nations that do well in this world, but the Jews who are faithful to God, we are the chosen people, you'd think that we could get cut a little slack. But actually, it's the same idea. The same way a wicked individual gets their reward in this world and is punished in the world to come, so too, it works that way on a national level as well. There's no, of course, other nations, they must have done some good things. There's actually a discussion in the Gemara, different Tanaim. This is the prelude to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai running away to the cave. So they're discussing about what the Romans did in this world. So one of the Tanaim, he says that the Romans, look what they did. They set up these different marketplaces. They set up these bathhouses. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Look what the Romans did for society. But Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was much more cynical about it. He said, yeah, well, they set up shvakim, they set up the marketplace so that they could sell prostitutes. They set up all of these roads for themselves. They set it all up for themselves, not for a Kaddish Baruch Hu, not for the Jewish people, not for good reasons. But there is this idea that, hey, there has to be some sort of, and this comes up in the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah as well, that there has to be some sort of saving grace. There has to be some sort of glimmer, some good deed that every nation did at some point. In fact, those who are with us in our Sunday morning Chumash class, you'll remember that we learn in Parshas Ki, next week's Parsha, that you are allowed to marry an Egyptian after the third generation. The reason that an Egyptian is allowed to enter to the Jewish people, unlike someone from Ammon and Moab, is because even though the Egyptians, they threw our children into the river, but earlier in history, they provided food for Yaakov and his children to come down to Egypt when we were in dire straits and we were hungry. So every nation has done something good at some point. And similarly, the opposite is true. The Efsher li Yisrael, but one second, turn the page. I'm having a technical issue. The Efsher li Yisrael, below Averos. Certainly, the Jewish people had to have sinned at some point as well. So, unlike the Jewish people, the other nations, they go down to Gehenna, they go down to suffer and to perish for worshiping idols, among many other sins. The Yisrael, chelkam b'chayim, their portion is in eternal life. That they cleave to God. So since we receive eternal reward from God in the world to come, we have to pay for the sins that the minimal sins that we did in this world. Similarly, the non-Jewish nations or the wicked nations of the world, they will get rewarded in this world. And then they get their just desserts in the world to come. So the same exact principles that we said apply to individuals apply on a national level as well. Therefore, the reason the Jewish people suffer so much is not because they are more wicked than any other nation, God forbid, but it's because, look, you know, you look through Tanakh, you look through our history, there have been times the Jewish people sinned. We weren't always good. So therefore, we receive our punishment in this world so that we may be rewarded and receive only goodness in the world to come. Zehu she'nemar, rak itchem yadatim kol mishpachos adama, al kein efkod alechem es kol avonoseichem. And this is what's mentioned in Amos, that God knows that we are great from all the other nations, and therefore God counts us, and therefore God focuses on our sins in this world. Any questions or thoughts on this point? Any ideas on, so does this satisfy everyone? I know Toby was the one who was most interested. Yeah, this is why Jews suffer in this world.
It's not so comfortable thinking about it.
Yeah, can you elaborate on that? What about it is not comfortable?
Well, it's nice to think about the fact that, you know, things will be good in the world to come, but we're here now. I'm here now. I should speak for myself only. And I would like nice things to happen to my family and myself now.
Right. So that's definitely true. And what we mentioned in an earlier class is that it's not either or. It's more of a trend. So, for instance, like what we say in Elu Dvarim, that we get some reward in this world, but HaKaren Kayemes Lo La'olam Haba, that our principle, the main reward, waits for us in the world to come. But we get peros in this world. We do reap certain benefits. I mean, by very virtue of us not, you know, most people not suffering every moment in this world, even if they're a good person, it shows that we do reap certain benefits in this world. But the idea is that the principle, the main reward, waits for us in life eternal. That's the point of the Ramban. But I can see that doesn't fully answer your question.
Yeah, but don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that, you know, the concept is difficult. You just have to accept it and believe in it.
Right. So they're definitely it's not going to fully satisfy it, pick up on every nuance. I hear what you're saying about that. Right, to a certain extent, you just have to decide whether this is something that you're on board with or not.
You know, even more important than getting rewards in this world is, I think, not seeing bad things happen in this world rather than rewards.
That's a reward.
About not seeing bad things.
Well,
in this world.
I guess you could look at it that way, Audrey, but and you could look at it, you know, I don't know. I don't see it as a reward exactly.
Okay. We can debate that. Yes, sir, Audrey.
Yeah. Then again, we don't know how Hashem looks upon things we do or don't do or how we do. We have no way of knowing. It's totally up to us.
Are you saying in terms of how our actions are assessed by God?
Right. Yeah,
so, definitely. So to a certain extent, yes and no. So it's actually an interesting debate. When it comes to sin, we know that there are different levels of severity for Mises based in, for death penalties given by the Jewish court. So we have Skila and Sreifa, which are more intense, and we have Hering and Chenek, which are less intense punishments. We talked about this before, burning versus stoning, and you could actually tell, depending on how severe the death penalty is for a certain capital punishment, that tells you how severe the sin is in the eyes of God. The thing is, when it comes to mitzvos, it's harder to figure out for mitzvos. In the Pirkei Avos, it says that you should treat a mitzvah kala like a mitzvah chamura. You should treat a light mitzvah like a heavier mitzvah. So the question is, does the Mishnah literally mean that some mitzvahs are treated weightier than others? Mm-hmm. Maybe. That's one opinion. But some, I think it's Machlokes Rambam Maharal. The other opinion is that, no, we actually have no idea what's considered more stringent, what's considered more significant. It's possible if I wear tzitzis, or it's possible if I just, you know, say Kriya Shema in the morning and in the evening, that might be considered much more significant than, cleaning my whole house or Pesach. You know, we have to figure out. Mm-hmm. We don't really know how to cheshbon that. But to a certain extent, we don't know. But to a certain extent, like when it comes to the death penalties or levels of punishment, we actually do get a little bit of an insight as to what's considered more severe to God. Okay. Let's go a little bit further. Od rise with Dibrich Hazel and Hunga Sos. The Chain Dorshavi Gamar Mesechus Tanios, Kil Amunah, Kishim Shin Ephraim in Arishain Lahaba, Afil Avir Akasha Osin. The same way that God punishes and exacts justice upon someone wicked, even for a small sin in the world to come. And therefore, even a small sin in this world, the righteous are punished for. Same way that the righteous, they get rewarded even for a small mitzvah they did in the world to come, so too the wicked get rewarded even for a small mitzvah that they did in this world as well. It all fits. It's all commensurate. And this is what it means when it says in Brachos, in the Gemara, that God created the world for those who are completely righteous and also for those who are completely wicked. What does that mean? That's a really odd and obscure statement. It means that those who are completely righteous, they get to reap the benefits in this world. And in addition to that, v'nochlin ha'olam haba, they also inherit the world to come. Shnemar la'nechil ve'yesh ve'otzoroseim emale, that they inherit, and that their otzros, their storage houses, are I will fill, God says. Urshaim gemurim ava bisha yordin leber shachas, even though these wicked people, they descend to the depths of hell, ochlin olam hazeh b'schar mirem azim tovim shasa, they still reap some benefits, even for their small good deeds, the few good deeds that they did in this world. Based on this, we can understand a few verses that come up in Proverbs and Mishlei. V'zeu shenemar hein tzadik ba'aretz yishulam, af ki rasha b'chote. Klomar, what does that pasuk mean? Hein tzadik b'shayim b'mazal avir sha'oseh, kavachomer yishashayim ha'rasha b'chote. So the same way the righteous people, same idea as what we said before, they get paid back for their sins, certainly the wicked get paid back for their sins. So if we see righteous people suffering in this world, just wait till you see what God has in store for the wicked. That which we see having to be righteous in this world, they punish. Certainly those who are wicked will suffer in the world to come. So, Af al pi shamida kachi, even though this is all true, Esher kisha yichata adam samach lemisa v'yachriya atzma l'kav chova, z'chuyu sha'asa makilo medina shel gehenam. So now this is going to address the question that we had before. We're finally getting to the answer. If you remember, we had a question from last time. Let's just rehash a little bit. Our question last time was that when it comes to somebody who is 50-50, we never really wind up with a person who's 50-50, 50 good deeds, 50 bad deeds, meaning God is going to give you your just deserts in this world. If God is truly going to punish a righteous person in this world for his few misdeeds, when it comes to the Yom HaMisa, when it's time for him to die, so even that person who is on the fence, now he's majority good deeds because he already made up for it, he was already punished for all of his wicked deeds in this world. So where do we have a case of someone who is going to be more 50-50? What happens to someone in that case? So we say it's possible that a person, right before he dies, what he's going to do is he's going to shift himself, lekaf chova, he's going to shift himself to 51% misdeeds, wicked deeds. So zechuyu sha'asa, so now wait a minute. So really, if a second before I die, or a few minutes before I die, I'm supposed to die, I all of a sudden I decide to eat pig, I decide to do, you know, kol davar aser, everything that's prohibited under the sun, what happens? That means I'm really a wicked person who happened to have done a few good deeds. So really, I should be rewarded in this world so that I get my punishment in the world to come. But wait, there's no time left, because how am I going to receive all my reward in this world if I'm about to die? How is God going to give me my reward in this world? That's not fair. So what happens? Instead of receiving my reward in this world, since my time has run out, and just in the nick of time, I managed to become a wicked person, Zuchuyu Sha'asa Makilo Medina Shel Gehenna. So instead of receiving reward in this world, those Zuchuyos, that merit that you have from those few mitzvos that you did in this world, they will serve to neutralize part of the pain that is endured in Gehenna. So he never actually receives the benefit, meaning the pleasure of the reward, but rather it's just used to neutralize some of his wicked deeds when we are figuring out what happens to him in Gehenna. And based on this, we can answer our question about the 50-50 person. Mishanasa Beni Samech Misaso. V'chei Mishahaya Rubo Aveiro, someone whose majority sin. V'samech L'misa Shekalas M'hoya Mechsas Chuyus and Mechsas Aveiros. And then close to his Misa, he all of a sudden becomes, you know, he does a few more mitzvos, and now his scales are weighing 50-50. Rav Chesed Matalo Klape Chesed V'zochabohem HaNeshamos. So then what happens? God, because he's merciful, pushes someone who's 50-50 into the Olam HaNeshamos. However, meaning the world of the souls, which is the temporary form of Gan Eden, temporary Garden of Eden. Umechsa, or Umiyat actually switches it to, Avir Sha'asa Gormi Menu Chelko. However, even though this 50-50 person is going to get into heaven, still, he's not going to get the full benefit of it, because his sins that he committed will detract and will neutralize his reward. The same way a wicked person, their few righteous deeds will neutralize their suffering in the world to come. Someone who manages to make it into the Garden of Eden and manages to reap reward, it will be subtracted based on the sins that they committed that they never atoned for. Shechul Adam Lefi Masav Huzo, because everyone, you get what you deserve. Bolam Haba, you get what you deserve in the world to come. That's his answer to our question from before. So that's what happens to someone who's 50-50. Someone who's 50 sin, 50 mitzvah, 50 good deeds. So ideally, God will put that person into Gan Eden. He will punish them in this world so that they can reap their full reward. But if you only become a 50-50 person just in time and you're just able to make it into Gan Eden, then what happens is God will neutralize your full reward based on the sins that you never atoned for. And this is supported by what the rabbis say. Kach amru chacham zichrono levracha l'olam haba. So it says in Bava Basra in the Gemara, in Olam Haba, malam shechol tzadik v'tzadik nechav mechupaso shel chaveiro. So let's see what that means. What's nechav mechupaso shel chaveiro? Kol tzadik nisraf b'schar chaveiro b'olam haba. So the Parish here says that, and what that means is that every righteous person is going to feel literally burned by the fact, by the reward of his friends in the world to come. Klomar, kisharoa eschar chaveru hu roa es atzmo choser madrig manashemus shal yochol ha'asiga kamo she'asiga chaveru. Mesilas Yesharim, or Moshe Chaim Luzzatto tells us that there's going to be a pain, because when you see that your friend achieved so much, but you didn't achieve as much, you're going to feel a certain amount of pain. So this is the question. What does it mean that it's not just a matter of, we say, every Jew has a portion in the world to come. But, you know, it's everyone has a portion in the world to come, but some portions are more equal than others. It's like that kind of Animal Farm idea almost. Meaning everyone can make it in the door, but, you know, to put it in like very mundane terms, there are people who get economy class, and people who get business class, and there are people who fly first class. So what's going to happen is that if you're in economy class in the world to come, you're going to be looking at your friend and say, oh, you know, he's in business class. Or you're going to say, oh, wow, why am I on Spirit Airlines? He got the JetBlue flight. You know, think of whatever analogy you want. Essentially, the idea is that there are different madrigos, different levels in the world to come. So even if you performed a lot of good deeds in your life, which hopefully is all of us over here, I would assume so, still there's a certain pain in seeing the fact that, oh, I could have done better. You know, if I only did a few more mitzvahs, I gave a little more charity, I dedicated a little more time to davening, whatever it might be, I could have been up there. So that's what it means, that they're going to feel burned by the fact that they see what their friend achieved. And another verse that supports that idea. The same thing. There are also, you know, let me just pause for a moment. If there were there any thoughts or questions before we go forward? Okay, we're on a roll here. We didn't finish. We're almost. I think we might be able to finish this section today. I'm trying to go for it if we can. That way we can delve into, because one of the future questions I want to deal with is we ask the question. We say, "Kol Yisrael Isha Mechelek L'Mahaba." The old Jews go to heaven. What about all the non-Jews? So, God willing, we will address that question soon. We'll go back to that once we finish the Ramban here. So, there are other instances where we take away, where we subtract from someone's reward in the world to come based off some of their misdeeds. You know, this could happen if someone is put in one category on Rosh Hashanah, and then it's meaning v'nigzar lav dino, and then he is judged to be put in the book of death, the book of suffering. And then he manages to push himself over to the good side. Shadina b'mkomo omeid. Still, he remains in the same place. She'ein kor gzar din shel Rosh Hashanah. We do not tear up the decision made on Rosh Hashanah. Ela dina b'mkomo omeid v'u meis kemosh nigzar lav Rosh Hashanah. So if on Rosh Hashanah was declared he would die this year, so then the person will still die this year. However, u'ba'ol ha'neshamos hu'nadam m'shal shkitos halal. But then, if he did more good deeds during the course of the year, that will still be able to be taken into account when he enters the world of the souls to determine, is he going to be put in the good place or the bad place? Is he going to receive reward in the afterlife, or is he going to receive suffering in the afterlife? So even if he's supposed to die this year, but he does more good deeds, that might not overturn the gezerah, what God declared on Rosh Hashanah, because that's a done deal. But it will give him reward in the world to come. It could help him shift over, because let's say he was 51% bad deeds when Rosh Hashanah came, or good deeds, however the cheshbon's working. We take his deeds over the course of the year into account when he dies. Therefore, Kishne Ephraim Misha Rubas Chios Amin Avir Sha'asabolam Hazeh, when God is exacting justice upon someone who is majority schuyos for the few averos, the few sins that he did in this world, arehu ki'ilu lo asan. What happens is, when he enters the world to come, this is a really important line. I mean, you can see I underlined it. Arehu ki'ilu lo asan. So the beauty of it is, to a certain extent, if someone receives their punishment in this world, they get to go to Olam Haba, the world to come, and they get to fully benefit from whatever they earned in this world. Nothing is subtracted from that based on their averos, because they already atoned for their sins in this world. You get everything that you deserve. Every good deed you got, you earn all the reward for it. But even still, there's a limitation. If we have a person who performed 100 mitzvos, 100 good deeds, and not a single wicked deed, not a single sin in his life, and we have someone who has 100 kemosa, just like him, however, but he has a few sins along the way, and he atoned for it, and he got punished for it, received punishment in this world. Still, even though you would think now that the second person was punished in this world for all of his sins and transgressions, not, you know, mathematically, they both now are at 100 good deeds, right? mathematically, they should be the same. The person who only did 100 mitzvos and a person who did 100 mitzvos and a few averos but already got punishers of averos, they both have the same number on their card. It says 100 good deeds when they're being processed through the registrar in heaven. However, ein chelkum ba'olam haba shaveh, they do not share the same lot in the world to come, because zed tzadik gamor v'zed tzadik she'eino gamor, because the first person is a tzadik gamor, a fully righteous individual. V'zed tzadik she'eino gamor, this person, they are now considered fully, they're considered righteous, but not completely righteous. There still is this small stain. It's almost like, again, another very mundane mushel, mundane example, but you cannot compare if you're wearing a white shirt, you're wearing a white piece of cloth or garment. You could, you know, even, let's say you got a stain on that white piece of garment and you use stain remover and you try to get it out, you still cannot, I mean, at least from what I've seen, I mean, I don't do laundry as frequently as I should be doing. Sorry about that. But essentially, my understanding, yeah, Marissa was over there. Essentially, my understanding is that you cannot compare a new piece of a new white shirt to a white shirt that has stain and then use stain remover. So that is the same idea over here. It's one thing to have that white, you know, have the white shirt with the stain remover, but it's another level to have that fresh white shirt out of the package that never had a stain on it in its entire life. So that's the idea. That's the difference between someone who's a tzadik gamor. It's better not to have committed the wicked deed at all. But if you commit the wicked deed, you're still going to be in a good place. But to have never done a sin to begin with, that obviously is much more preferable and treated with a significant nuance of difference than someone who atoned for a sin that they committed.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Isn't there some concept that that one who atones is and even in a higher place?
Right. Absolutely. So there is an opinion in the Gemara, and I think you're right. When I was reading this, I was thinking the same thing, that it may have contradicted another Maimer Chazal, that a rabbi's, there's an opinion in the Gemara that someone who is a Baal Teshuvah, someone who sinned at one point and then atoned for their sins, is actually put on a higher pedestal, a higher madriga, than someone who never sinned in their life.
It says in Pirkei Avos something about it.
Right, so they're right. So in Pirkei Avos, and then if you in the Gemara as well, there's some discourse on it as well, and definitely when it gets to more Musar-like literature. So here's the thing. You are correct. It requires further analysis that I have not done yet. My understanding is that perhaps the message there is that it's one thing to be challenged. You know, if I just never was challenged, I just never had a taiva to go and eat a cheeseburger, I'm not receiving the same reward as someone who was tempted by the cheeseburger, ate it, knows how, I don't know how good it is, but I guess he knows how good it is to eat that cheeseburger, and then says, you know what, I'm making a commitment never to eat it again. So I think there is an element there of lefum tsara agra, that God rewards us based on the amount of stress, effort, frustration, and difficulty we have in performing and abiding by his laws. But if someone is never tempted by that sin to begin with, that is a lower madriga, because great, you know, I'm not getting rewarded for never robbing a bank. I never had the taiva. I never had the inclination to go ahead and rob a bank. So God's not rewarding me for refraining from robbing a bank, right? So, but over here, I think what it's describing is that these two people had the same kind, were brought up the same way, same challenges. This is a theoretical case. We're assuming all else is equal. Just one person sinned, the other person did not sin. So that is very much different. In fact, also, I just want to add on to your question. The Ramban here does not say that the second person necessarily did tshuva. It just says that he was punished. You see, a person could commit a sin, never actually do tshuva for it, and then receive punishment for the sin. So why are they receiving punishment? Because they never did tshuva for it. If they did tshuva, it is possible that they wouldn't receive the punishment because they did tshuva. So I think that's another important distinction Phyllis, that what you're talking about is a Baal Tshuva, someone who fully repents for a sin they did, versus someone who they did the sin and now, you know, they haven't repented for it, and now God is punishing them for it. And that punishment basically absolves them from receiving any further punishment in the world to come due to that sin. Does that address your point?
Okay, partially.
Partially. Okay, what part did we not address?
I have to find that pasuk in Pirkei Avos.
Okay, God willing, we'll find that. And then when you find it, you'll tell me if my analysis fits with the wording there. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Let's get a little bit further. Let's see if the end is. Just checking how much further we have. Okay, we might be able to. Oh, I think we're at the end actually. Lefikach. Here we go. Lefikach nifra mimena ba'olam hazeh. Kedeshei roi lechayom haba. Therefore, we receive our punishment. We get paid back in this world so that we will become ro'oi, will be fitting for the world to come. But he does not reach the level of the righteous who never committed that sin to begin with. And we are all rewarded based on our faithfulness to God and based on our deeds to God. And with that, ki elokei mishpat Hashem ashrei kol chogilo. And that ends our section. Yasher Koach, everyone. That took us two classes just to get through the raw material on there without delving in. The next topic we're going to deal with, I'll just give you a preview for next time. In the Ramban, we're going to talk about Yisurin and Nisayon. So there's actually just an idea called Yisurin Shel Ahava, suffering of love, which a person may not be deserving of any punishment, but God will give them suffering in this world nonetheless. We'll talk about why that's true, why that's ethical, if that's ethical. But before we jump to that next time, we're going to hit the rewind button. We're going to go to a detail that I did not delve into today, which is we mentioned that every Jew has a portion in the world to come, but we did not talk about Goyim. We did not talk about the non-Jews. Why does it say, kol adam yesh lecheyak olam haba? Why don't we say every person has a portion in the world to come? Why only the Jews? So apparently there's a little bit of ambiguity as to the status of non-Jews in Jewish theology. So what we are going to do next time, God willing, is start with that debate about the status of the non-Jew in the world to come. And then, God willing, we will move forward in the Ramban as well to a new section. And they, as you can see, that's PDF number 3. We'll move on to a new PDF number 4, where we will continue our adventures through Shar HaGemul. Yasher Koach, everyone. Were there any questions, thoughts, or comments?
I wish Pirkei Avot was in some sort of an order so I could find things easily.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll try to. I can look up for you after the session.
Something about Ein Tzadikim or Omdim. Balei Tshuva, something like that.
You know what? Phyllis, I'm going to end the session, but God willing, we'll be in touch. I'll search that up for you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day, and I'll let you know if we switch tonight.
Thank you so much.
All right, Dawn, it was good meeting you as well. Good to have you with us. All right. Have a good day, Melissa, Marina, Alex.
Thank you.
Phyllis. Thank you.
We're here too.
Bye, everybody.